Those of you who've travelled overseas, you ever wondered how the locals always seem to know you're a tourist, especially if you're overseas, that is. You might be around Australia as well, but you ever wondered how they just seem to have this uncanny ability to know that you're a tourist? What are some of the classic signs that you'd be looking for if you were going to play Spot the Tourist? Anyone, any ideas? Spot the Tourist. What's that, sorry?
Confused.
Confused. Somebody's looking confused. They're looking lost. They've got a map out, maybe. Corin?
They have a camera.
They have a camera, yes. Tourists always have a camera or a video camera, and they're always looking around. They're missing the actual experience for the sake of recording it for later. Rodney?
Accent.
The accent. Oh, am I a tourist? Yep, so there's lots of different ways that you could do that. Perhaps you might see somebody walking around Toowoomba, and they've got a T-shirt on, and it says, "I love Toowoomba." How many of us have got an "I love Toowoomba" T-shirt? And you could almost guarantee if someone was wearing an "I love Toowoomba" T-shirt and they were wearing a baseball cap, they're probably an American tourist as well. But if, on the other hand, we want to try to blend in when we're overseas in a different environment, we might dress like those who are around us. We might eat where the locals eat. If we're overseas in a different, where different language is being spoken, we might at least attempt to learn some of the language. Now I have a question for you. This is not one for you to answer. This is one of those answer in your head sort of questions and think about as we go along. It's a question about how you and I fit into the world around us. Are you a tourist? Or are you a citizen? And should you be either? We find the answer in Jesus' prayer for his people. And the first thing that we see is that we are not to live as tourists. We're not to live as tourists. Well, as we've already seen what are some of the marks and the signs of being a tourist, but what about a Christian tourist? Tourists stand out for all the reasons that we've already given. For all the reasons we've seen before, you can pick them a mile off. A tourist stands out like a sore thumb because a tourist isn't mingling with the culture. Some time ago, somebody was telling me about an overseas trip they went on and traveling the world and eating McDonald's, despite their best intentions. Yeah, that's a tourist for you. We go overseas with grand plans of eating the local cuisine. Just sometimes it just doesn't happen, whatever the reasons might be. Tourist is someone who doesn't mingle with the culture. Perhaps they use the culture, but they tend to remain isolated. And in his prayer for his disciples, Jesus teaches us here not to live as tourists. And we see it there in verse 15. Jesus says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." Jesus prays that we would not be isolated from the world, that we would not withdraw from the world, but be engaged in the world under the protection of God the Father. As we look over the history of the church, it's fairly easy to see examples of where this has not taken place. It's also easy to see why. It's easy to see the motivations that have affected this withdrawal. After all, the world is a dangerous place for faith. The world is full of evil. And as we read before in John 15, the world hates disciples of Jesus. You could think of it this way, as the Apostle John tells us in his first letter, 1 John 2:15, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world." And so, friends, at times the church has withdrawn from the world. We had the monasteries in the Middle Ages and beyond, where Christians would form communities and live together, escape from sin and evil, and live for God. And I don't want you to get a false impression of the monasteries, because certainly much good was accomplished in the monasteries. They were centers of learning, centers of gospel devotion. Monasteries were leading centers of Christian mission. They were responsible for much of the spread of the gospel throughout Europe. the time before the Reformation. But in terms of one of their goals of escaping evil and sin, the goal failed. Because these Christian communities, unfortunately, regretfully, included Christians. They included sinners. We can't escape from evil by communal living. We can't escape sin by just visiting the world on occasion, being tourists, visiting as infrequently as we can, and then escaping back into our little safe Christian communities. Jesus' prayer is not that we would be taken out of the world in this way, but that we would be in the world, in the thick of things, right where the action is. That we would need protection because we're living in dangerous places. So I want to ask you this afternoon, are you living in the world? Or are you living as a tourist? Have you turned your home into a monastery? You head out each morning to work, to mix and mingle with sinners, and then you escape at the end of the day back into home, back into your safe haven. Do you allow the world and your home to mix and mingle, or are they separate and completely isolated? Do you invite the people of the world into your home to witness Christian family, what that looks like, to witness Christian love? Do you see your home as a fortress, a stronghold, standing against evil? Or as a place where there might be evangelistic witness going on? Perhaps to come at it from a different angle. Do you stand out in the world? Do you stand out like a tourist, like a sore thumb? Or are you so separate from culture that it's obvious to all around you that you disapprove of what the world is doing? For example, the scriptures tell us we're to be modest. We're to be modest people. But as you well know, there's a way to be modest and look great, and there's a way to be modest and look like you emerged out of a time capsule that departed or was buried in whatever era you deem as Christian, the Christian era, Christian clothing. Jesus' prayer is not that we would be isolated from the world around us. What Jesus is saying is that we're not just to hang out in the safe places when we're overseas, like in the Christian McDonald's of this world. After all, Jesus himself didn't remain isolated from the world around him. He and his disciples didn't eat out at Macca's in a safe environment. Now, Jesus ate at Zacchaeus' home, the home of a sinner, so-called. The Pharisees, the separated ones, their name means, they didn't approve. They were the cultural tourists of Jesus' day. Whereas Jesus got in and got his hands dirty and engaged with the people around him. The Christmas story, it seems to me, that we remember each year reminds us that Jesus was not a tourist, not at arm's length, but right there in the thick of things. The cross, which we look forward to very shortly, shows us that Jesus is not a tourist. Now, he took on flesh and blood like us. That's one of the points Article 18 of the Belgic Confession, we'll confess later, is making. He took on a real body. He mingled with us in sharing our humanity, a real man for our salvation. But friends, Jesus wasn't a tourist. He doesn't want us to live as tourists either. We're supposed to be in the world, while not of the world. And yes, the world is a dangerous place for faith, and there are many temptations and difficulties that we face in trials. And so, we pray for protection. Friends, the world's also a place of opportunity. It's the place where Jesus wants us to be. And so, we're not to live as tourists. So, if we're not to live as tourists, does that mean we're to live as citizens? And again, the answer is no. That's the second thing we want to look at tonight. We are not to live as citizens either. Put it to you that just as a tourist is recognized by the fact that they stand out from everyone around them, a citizen tends to be someone who blends in. A citizen is someone who, who immerses themselves in the culture. They're hard to tell apart. A citizen is at home. A citizen belongs. A citizen's very comfortable in their surroundings. And in his prayer, Jesus teaches us that we're not to live as citizens either. We see that in verses 14 and 17 of our text. Jesus prays, "I have given them," that's the disciples, "I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." And so once again, if the danger of being a tourist is standing out from the world and not engaging, the danger of being a citizen is in being confused with the world. See, brothers and sisters, if the world loves us, then something is very, very wrong. Because we read before in John 15 that the world hated Jesus. It hated Jesus, it hated his message. The world showed that hatred by putting Jesus to death upon the cross. And what Jesus is saying to us is that we no longer belong to this world. Perhaps once we did. Perhaps before we knew God, we stood with the mockers and those persecuting Jesus. But if we've believed in Jesus, if we've become Jesus' disciples, then a radical transformation's taken place in our lives. We're no longer citizens of the world. We're no longer citizens of a God-hating world. Perhaps you've experienced this loss of citizenship when you became a citizen of Australia or some other country. Some countries allow you to have dual citizenship. Many of you perhaps have dual citizenship, dual nationality. I have New Zealand and Australian citizenship, and Lydia is both a New Zealand citizen, Australian citizen, and an American citizen as well. But other countries are different. In fact, up until April 2002, some 12 years ago, if you were an Australian citizen and you took on some other citizenship, then you lost your Australian citizenship in the process. You couldn't be a dual citizen. And friends, it's like that when we become a Christian. We gain a citizenship and we lose a citizenship. We gain citizenship in heaven and we lose citizenship of the world. God doesn't recognize dual citizens. We either belong to the world or we belong to his kingdom. We've already seen that we're not to be tourists, we're not to escape from the world, but neither are we to make ourselves comfortable here as if the world really was our home. As if we were at peace with the reality that we live in a world which is opposed to Jesus. Those words we read before, Jesus warns, if you belong to the world would love you as its own. And if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Seems to me a little bit like a pendulum that swings first one way and then the other. We're not to be on the tourist end of the pendulum, and we're not to be on the citizen end of the pendulum either. Jesus wants us to avoid both of those extremes. And we avoid the dangers of being a citizen when we're careful in the way that we live. And Jesus speaks of that in verse 17. He says there, I have given them your word. Sorry, just the last part there. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. To be sanctified means to be holy, to be separate. In practice, it means to stand out from the world in a good way. It means for our thoughts and our words and our deeds to speak of Jesus. God tells us, Romans 12, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. For the world's trying to squeeze us into its mold. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our mind being renewed by the truth. Our actions being informed by the truth. Our thoughts being remade by the truth. By God's word. So we are in the world, but not of the world. Jesus wants us to be in the world, but not to feel at home in the world. For a citizen easily gets comfortable, comfortable with surroundings. The danger is of the danger of being dulled to evil and dulled to sin. Think through a few examples with me. A citizen perhaps hears someone misusing God's name at school or in the workplace and no longer notices, no longer says anything. It's so commonplace. A disciple hears someone misusing God's name and wants to say something, however awkward that might be. Or you might take a citizen who's no longer shocked when they sit down at the end of the day and they blob in front of the TV. They don't notice what's going on. A disciple's aware. A disciple changes channels rather than becoming comfortable or enjoying sin. Or perhaps in this way, a citizen lives for what the world's valuing, power and money and status and things. A disciple may have those same things, but holds on to them in a different way. Holds them loosely. They're here today and gone tomorrow. They're for use in the Lord's service while we have life, but our treasure is in heaven. Friends, we're not supposed to get comfortable here. This life is a battle. And we're not at home, and we're not supposed to feel like we're at home. We're not to adapt ourselves like a chameleon that can blend into its environment so that it's no longer seen, no longer distinct. If we're no longer distinct, our salt will have lost its saltiness. We'll no longer be good for anything. I want to ask you this afternoon, do you stand out? Does the world make you feel a little uncomfortable? Perhaps a better question, from time to time, do you make the world feel uncomfortable? Because you don't live in and you're living for different goals and different reasons, different motivations, different loves. Friends, this life is a battle. And so we are not to live as citizens. So if we're not to live as tourists and we're not to live as citizens, then how should we live? And I mentioned the image of a pendulum before, and clearly these are two extremes, citizenship and being a tourist. And so where's the middle? Where's the middle? How then should we live? I want to suggest to you that in Jesus' prayer, we have the indication that we are instead to live as ambassadors. We're to live as ambassadors. Jesus begins to develop this idea, especially in verses 18 and 19. He says there, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." Not tourists, not withdrawn from the world, not citizens confused with the world. We're to be ambassadors, as a witness to the world. Because an ambassador is neither a tourist nor a citizen. An ambassador is not here as a sightseer. They're not here to become a citizen of our country either. An ambassador comes to Australia to represent a different country, another country. We've already seen that Jesus wants us to remain in the world. But he doesn't want us to live aimlessly or to live idly, to live with a mission. As the Father sent Jesus into the world, so now Jesus sends his followers into the world. He sends us into the world. And our mission is the same mission that the Father gave Jesus, to represent God to the world. I think this is the way in which we are to be truly sanctified. Not just in being different from the world, a set apart rather than blending in, but set apart, reserved, dedicated for God's mission and God's purposes in the world. That's Christian worldliness. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved the world despite its wickedness and evil so much that he sent Jesus into the world. to mix and mingle with sinners, to die on the cross, to redeem us from all sin. And the God who sent his Son Jesus into the world now sends us into the world as well, to mix and mingle, to speak through our words and through our actions of the Lord Jesus and his love. And that is why we do not want to be either tourists or citizens. We respect and appreciate the culture around us, and yet at the same time we're ambassadors representing a different culture and a different set of values, seeking to persuade those around us to take up a new citizenship, to join us as citizens of heavenly kingdom, of God's kingdom, through Jesus' Son. And so as you reflect on your life and the way that you live, the way you seek to live, how do you fit into the world? Are you a tourist? Or a citizen? Or are you an ambassador? Amen. Let's pray.